It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 17, we are continuing a series on Christian biblical basics. This is a six-part series that helps us as Christians lay a foundation on understanding the Word of God, the Bible, and also to establish a closer walk with the Lord and to help us in our relationships with others. This is the teaching on Christian Biblical Basics, Session 4, Who Am I Now? Point number 1, Who Am I Now? I am a new creation, special in the Lord. This particular question of who am I is a question that has reverberated in the minds of individuals throughout the foundation of the world. From the beginning of time, individuals, many of them, do not know who they are. For many, their identity is connected with their job. Or for many, individuals were told growing up that they should be like their brother, or why can't you be like your father or your uncle or sister? Many individuals are living a life not knowing who they are because they're trying to be like someone else, trying to be like some professional athlete or some Hollywood movie star with delusions of grandeur and fantasies, and embrace another person's identity instead of embracing who God has made them and called them to be. Individuals, after many failures in their life, wander and meander throughout life's experiences and choices, never knowing who they really are. Many individuals were raised being looked down upon because of their race or their socioeconomic class or standing, told that they're not good enough to be like others, and as a result, they never came to find out who they are in the Lord, never came to find out what their true identity is. For when individuals find their true identity in the Lord, they find purpose. They find meaning beyond this world and allows them to set their feet on a path that gives them fulfillment as they live for the Lord's purpose in their life. Individuals that have their identity in this world as a mother or a father, or individuals on their job, or doing things in society is great for this present world. But individuals must begin to think beyond this world and what is God's purpose and meaning for me? What is my identity? How can I fulfill what God has for me? This particular question is first answered in who we are in Jesus Christ. That is our objective, to lay a foundation today on learning who we are in Christ Jesus. Point number 1. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We are special in the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 teaches that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This is an individual who is no longer living under the judgment of the past, no longer living the past in guilt and shame, and strolling through life with the if I coulda, shoulda, would've. This particular gift from the Lord is a gift of newness that comes with salvation as an individual bows their knee and bows their heart and confesses that they are a sinner in need of salvation and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and trust that the Lord died for their sins and was risen from the dead. Individuals are born again. Individuals are saved and become a new creature in Christ Jesus. This new creation allows us to be special in the Lord. We are loved in the Lord. And we are loved from the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verses 4 through 6 teaches, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. This new creation in Christ, this opportunity that allows us to be special in the Lord, is driven by the love of God. We are accepted in the beloved. We are loved by the Lord with an everlasting love. In contrast, as those individuals in our past have hurt us and have rejected us and has not loved us and has used us and kicked us to the proverbial curb of life, we can take solace and have comfort and have purpose now that knowing the Lord loved us, always loved us, and as a result, through Jesus Christ, accepts us as we are and washes us and cleanses us and gives us an opportunity to have a brand new start. Makes us a special individual, a new creation in the Lord. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This new creation in the Lord allows us to have an identity. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 10, scripture teaches, he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Scripture continues in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And that word peculiar means purchased people, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When scripture teaches about kings and priests, this indicates that we are royalty. We are special. In the scriptures, only three individuals were ever called both kings and priests. For it was forbidden in the Old Testament for individuals to have both roles. Either an individual was king over a nation, or an individual was a priest or prophet, but not both. For the king always had to be accountable to the prophet and the priest, and the priest and the prophet were led politically by a righteous king who is answerable to the Lord. However, the exception is found in scripture in three individuals who had all these titles at the same time. Number one, the example was Melchizedek, who was both king and priest. The second example was Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings, and he's also our high priest. And the third example is the church. The church is called both kings and priests. This indicates royalty. The title of kings speaks of riches, riches untold, riches that money cannot buy. The priest title indicates access to the Lord, worship and praise, and the access to have our prayers answered from the throne room of God. And we as the church, we as individuals who are saved and washed in the blood, are called both kings and priests, for we are somebody in Christ Jesus. Point number two, who am I now? I am a son and daughter of the Lord. Romans chapter 8 verse 16 teaches, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have been adopted through Christ Jesus into the family of God. We are no longer orphans in this world or in the world to come. Many individuals are trusting in their roots, trusting in their pedigree, trusting in their ancestry, trusting in who they know and who they are connected with. But we as Christians can take solace and joy and comfort knowing that we are adopted into the family of God. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. As Scripture teaches that we can cry, Abba, Father. And that word Abba in the book of Romans means Papa. It means Daddy. It's a term of endearment. It designates closeness. It speaks of a relationship between a parent and a child that's close. As sons and daughters of the Lord will provide for us as a loving parent. For Scripture teaches, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. As a son and daughter of the Lord, our Heavenly Father, our loving parent, will nurture us, will care for us, will comfort us, will ensure that our needs are met, and love us with an everlasting love. Scripture teaches in 1 John chapter 3, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 states, but as many as received him, received Jesus Christ, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We as Christians have been adopted into the family of God. Not everyone can call the Lord their father. Only those that have been born again and adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. There are individuals who are the children of God and the children of the wicked one. Jesus Christ further emphasizes this point in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus states, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus Christ further teaches in the book of Luke, where he states, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" So we as individuals, as Christians who have been saved, born again, can rejoice that we are sons and daughters of the Lord. This relationship as sons and daughters in the Lord is something that we must continue through faithfulness. Scripture teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, "Wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." We are sons and daughters of the Lord as long as we abide in Christ. Point number 3. Who am I now? I am an individual in Christ Jesus with rights and benefits from the Lord. John chapter 10 verse 10 teaches, "I have come to give you life, and that more abundantly." Romans chapter 8 verse 17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." Jesus Christ said in the book of Luke chapter 12, "Fear not, little flock, it is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We shall inherit the universe and beyond through the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." We as individuals in the Lord, special in the Lord, we now have rights and benefits from the Lord, all paid for on the cross of Calvary. These rights and benefits are not based on who we are. These rights and benefits are not based on what we do or what we don't do. These rights and benefits are blood bought from the Lord Jesus Christ and bestowed upon us from the love of the Father. These rights and benefits from the Lord are not based on what we earn. These rights and benefits are not because of us. They are in spite of us. These rights and benefits from the Lord are not based on our pedigree or who we are or what we have done in this world. These rights and benefits from the Lord are based on the work of the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ. As a result, we rejoice and give praise and thanksgiving for his grace and mercy bestowed upon us. These spiritual blessings are manifold, some being the benefit of reconciliation. This means to be made friends again, or to go from enemy to friend, to where God is no longer our enemy, but he is our friend in the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, "I call you friends if you do what I command you." God the Father in the Old Testament called Abraham his friend. We are reconciled. We have been made from enemy to friend through the Lord, because the Father has placed our judgment on the cross, on Jesus Christ, and has reconciled us back to the Father. We have also the right and benefit of propitiation. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2 says that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. This word propitiation is a fancy word which means mercy seat. This word propitiation is a fancy word which means the satisfaction of God's wrath. God is no longer angry with us because his anger was placed on Jesus Christ on the cross in judgment. Our sins were judged in Jesus Christ. And as a result, God is not a God that is waiting to bestow lightning bolts on his people. God's wrath has been satisfied on the cross of Calvary. We also have the right and benefit of forgiveness, as our sins were judged on Jesus Christ. And as we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are forgiven. We also have the right and benefit of redemption, where we were purchased by the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and we belong to the Lord. And now our life is in the Lord, and we live for him because we love him, and he's given us everlasting life. We have the right and benefit of righteousness, where the scripture teaches that we are the righteousness of Christ, where we placed our sins at the feet of Christ on the cross. And in exchange, he's given us his righteousness. We have the right and benefit of peace from the Lord, as now the Lord looks upon us and bestows us peace, the peace that passeth all understanding. Scripture teaches in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a multitude of rights and benefits, blood-bought rights and heavenly benefits bestowed upon us through God's love, his grace and mercy, all because of Jesus Christ. Point number 4. Who am I now? I am sanctified in the Lord. This word sanctified means set apart. Scripture teaches in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. That God the Father has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been translated from kingdom to kingdom, from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, from the jurisdiction of darkness to the jurisdiction of light, from the authority of darkness to the authority of light. We have been set apart, sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches in 1 Peter chapter 2 that he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have been set apart. We have been sanctified. This word sanctified also is a word that relates to the church, as the church is called ecclesia in the Greek, or called out. This word sanctified is from the family of words hagios, which means set apart. We as the church have been set apart, sanctified, called out to do the Lord's will. To be separate from the entanglements and the lust of this world. And this sanctification is a threefold sanctification, where initially we are sanctified at the new birth experience. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Once again, removed from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. This sanctification is not only initial, it is number two, progressive, to where we continue to be sanctified or set apart in our Christian walk and produce fruit, and that more abundantly. John chapter 15 teaches that Jesus Christ, as we abide in him, will allow us to produce fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. This is progressive sanctification. And sanctification not only is initial and progressive, but number three, there is complete sanctification, where we are finally at one day either raptured to be taken home to him and set apart, removed from this earth, or through the portal of death, to where we go from this world into the bosom of the Lord. For the scripture teaches, absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we are sanctified. We are set apart. Initially in the born again experience, then progressively through producing more and more fruit, and then finally a complete sanctification where we go unto the Lord, set apart and removed from this world into the bosom of the Lord. Oh, what a day that will be when we are set apart in complete sanctification to go home to the Lord. Point number 5. Who am I now? We are justified. This word justified means declared not guilty. This word justified is much more than the old definition where we hear in the churches, just as if we never sinned. It goes beyond just as if we never sinned, because we have sinned and as a result gave our life to Christ to be saved. This word justified means literally declared not guilty. This word justified means that God has dropped the charges. This word justified means case dismissed. Romans chapter 5 gives a complete teaching on the justification in Christ Jesus. This word justified is declaring us before the court of Almighty God that Jesus Christ bore our sins and bore our judgment, and now God in his righteous judgment will not judge us in our sins, because we have trusted Jesus Christ who died for our sins and rose from the dead. As a result, God Almighty will drop the gavel in eternity future and say, case dismissed. God has dropped the charges. Scripture teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, and such were some of us, but we are washed, we are sanctified, and we are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. As a result of being justified, as a result of being declared not guilty, we are free from double jeopardy. We cannot be charged again for the same crimes we've done in the past. For the Lord himself has died for our sins, rose from the dead, and now we can walk faithful in the Lord, walking in the righteousness of Christ. Oh, the joy and freedom of having our sins forgiven. removing the weight and guilt of sin on our shoulders and being free to live and love the Lord as captors who are kept in the bondage of sin. The prison doors have been opened and we are released into the freedom of Christ. The chains have been loosed, the prison doors of sin opened, and we are now free to enjoy a loving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. This particular teaching on who am I now will help us to learn that we are special in the Lord, that we are a new creation in Christ, that we have an identity, that we have a purpose, that we have meaning that goes beyond this world, that we are sons and daughters of the Lord, being adopted into the family of God, that we have rights and benefits, that our blood bought rights through Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Rights and benefits that money cannot buy. Rights and benefits that no man can take away. That we are sanctified, that we are set apart for the Lord. That we are justified, that we are declared not guilty, never to be tried again for the same crimes in the past. This is the teaching on Christian Biblical Basics, Session 4, Who Am I Now? And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His love and kindness, I invite you to pray this prayer with me. This prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.